Coming to you from Island Community Church. Now, we are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30. We would love to see you this Sunday morning at 10:30. My sermon this week is entitled The Law of Sowing and Reaping. You might not be able to see it like the law of gravity, but you can bet your sweet bippy it is a law nevertheless. Like when he says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, this shall he also reap. Hosea the prophet says, he who sows wind will reap the whirlwind. That's where we're going to be at. We read about all the negative things that can happen for sowing to the flesh. However, naturally, the flip side to that is true as well. Whoever will sow to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit everlasting life. That's what we're going to look at. How can we make sure that we are sowing to the Spirit? What can we do? What can we do now to ensure a wonderful harvest sometime in the future? We also will be having Holy Communion this week. So those are some of the things going on this weekend. You're invited. We'd love to see you. Here now is part two of this message, The Last Trumpet. Look at some of the things that happened at the last trumpet, where the Apostle Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Now remember, sleep is a euphemism for death. He's saying the same thing I've been saying all along on my bucket list, is that the number one thing on my bucket list is not dying. Because he says right here, behold, let me tell you something no one's ever heard. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's where we're at. This is part two of this message now, The Last Trumpet.
The dead will be raised up, whoop, incorruptible, and we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And it's just that fast. Whether or not good or bad, it's just that fast. It might be bad for you. It's just that fast. It's just that fast, and the grace of God is over. It's just that fast. It's a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, the grace of God is over, and it won't be extended to you anymore. That's why the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, if he's saying to you, psst, psst, now's the day of salvation. You're going to have a rough day today. Today is the day. You never know if you're going to make it outside this parking lot. You never know. We shall all be changed. And it's just that fast, whether good or bad. The angels informed you. He just told you. He just told you it's all over at the last trumpet. When the last trumpet sounds, it's all over. No more pulling out Jesus' beard. It's the last trumpet. Now let's turn back to Revelation chapter 11. And let's look at what Revelation tells us is going to happen at the last trumpet. Back to Revelation. Actually, it's our first time we're going here now. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Let's look at how significant the last trumpet is in the Bible. Verse 15. Okay, here we go. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, look at all the things that happen now at the last trumpet. Let's keep reading. The kingdoms of this world. Now I'm reading from my Bible translation, the EMTV. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, those before the throne of God who sit on their thrones, they fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, Pantokrator, that is, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was, because you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. Are you making a list of everything that happens at the last trumpet? We're going to go over it again in just a second. Because people poo-poo this all the time when I say this. They say, oh, last trumpet, that don't mean anything. It's just a trumpet. You think? Look at all the things he's telling you was going to happen at the last trumpet. Don't poo-poo this. This is a significant event. So significant, God wouldn't let John write it down. Because you're not going to know. Because I'm telling you what, friend, you're going to enter this kingdom in by faith. That's the only way to get in. You're not going to get in because he wrote it down for you. You're going to enter in to his kingdom by faith and by faith alone. I believe you. I don't see it, but I trust you at your word. That's the only way to gain entry into this kingdom. He's not going to write it down. Verse 17, in the middle of that verse, he says, you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign. Verse 18, the nations were angry and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and to those that fear your name, and to the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Now, don't tell me the last trumpet is insignificant, because it doesn't fit people's eschatology is why they say that. They don't want to put what we just looked at right before the end of the age. I'm just a preacher. Verse 19. Then the temple of God was open in heaven. And then the Ark of the Covenant appeared. Wow, when was the last time we read that in the Bible? Here it is. After all of these years, here's the Ark. Whether or not it's the same ark or whether our ark is a copy of one that's in heaven, I don't know. But nevertheless, we haven't seen it written anywhere since 1 Kings. So the temple of God was open in heaven. The ark of the covenant of the Lord appeared in his temple. And there was lightnings and voices and thunders and great hail. All right, so here are the things that happened at the last trumpet. Also, bear in mind that the Apostle Paul told you just 5 minutes ago that you can add rapture to this list as well if these trumpets here are the same. Here's the list of the things that take place at the last trumpet. Number one, the end of the Gentiles. Or it's the end of Gentiles ruling the world. Verse 15. So, again, it's the end of Gentiles ruling the world. Number two, it's time for Christ to reign. That's verse 15 and 17. Number three, it's time for the wrath of God. Remember, at the last trumpet, the wrath of God comes at the last trumpet. The wrath of God comes at the last trumpet. Number four, what happens in the last trumpet? Number four, it's judgment day. That's verse 18. Number five, it's reward day for all the saints. Notice that judgment day and reward day are the same day. Not 7 years before. It's the same. There's not even a period in this verse. Might be a comma, maybe. It's all the same day. So number five is reward day for all the saints. And number six, it's doomsday for all the God haters out here in the world. Verse 18. Now to back all this up, why don't you turn with me, please? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. Now we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you amongst the churches of God for your patience and faith and all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Verse 6, 5, which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when... All right, so catch that. They're both in the same sentence. You see that? Payback and relief. Payback and relief. Payback. Payback to the God haters. Relief to you. It's all at the same time. It's not separated by years. It's the same time. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, now that sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Maybe you say, wow, isn't God just a meanie to do something like that? I mean, a lot of people out here don't know God. There's how many billions of people out here don't know God? At least not the way that you know him. For that matter, there's a lot of people right here in this church. And there's one standing right here from time to time also that might not obey the gospel. How are you guys doing with that? If you're honest, you'll ask the question, is it I? Instead of saying, oh, no, it's not me. No, no, no. No, Richie doesn't obey the gospel. Not me, I'm fine. No, no, it's him. No, it's my wife doesn't obey the gospel. Not me. Haven't we learned anything this last year to be careful to say that we need to say, is it I, Lord? Am I the one that's not obeying the gospel? That's what we need to ask. Here's your litmus test. Here's a few things. Let's chuck it out there and see how we're doing. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Billy Graham says your cross is like strapping an electric chair to the roof rack of your SUV. How are you doing with that? See, I'm already guilty. I'm guilty. I can't do this on my own. I need help. Rick, someone's got to help me with this because I can't, because I failed this test. He's coming back to inflict vengeance on those that don't obey the gospel. How are you doing with that? Unless you forgive your brother their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you yours. That's Matthew 6:14. How are you doing with that one? Sell all that you have and give it away to the less fortunate, and then, that would be T-H-E-N, then you come and follow me. It's part of the gospel. How are you doing with that? Unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter into the kingdom. How are you doing with that? Whoever puts his hand to the plow and then looks back to all the leeks and onions that you used to have, that it's for everyone who misses their life of sin and misery and bondage that you used to have, everyone who puts their hand to the plow and you look back and say, you know what, I miss that. I miss those days back when I was a slave of sin. How are you doing with that? If you're not still going this way and you're going that way, then he's talking to you. You and I need grace. We need some grace. And a whole truckload of it, Pastor. If that's you, then you too do not obey the gospel. Now this is where you now speak up, church, and you do like what they did on the day of Pentecost, and they shouted out, men and brethren, Ray, Carol, what shall we do? We need help. enter in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is why Jesus died. Because you, in your own strength, you cannot obey him and you cannot obey the gospel. You need help. You need help. You just can't do it. I wanted us to look at the evidence to say, next time you read that, don't say, oh, that's my friend Smedley who lives down the street. Me, I obey. Don't be so fast to say that. Don't be so fast. You need the Son of God to save you from this death sentence. And he has come in alongside to help. And if you receive him, he will not only come in alongside of you, but he will take up residence on the inside of you. And then you have the power to obey the gospel. And when you do fall short, like we do still fall short. I mean, I'm talking to Christians here. We all, what did Paul say? We all what? We all fall short of the glory of God. But thank God Jesus died in our place. We can obey it through Christ. Now the Apostle John put it this way. He said, if, that's I-F, that's how you spell that. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then, it's a classic case of if and then. If we do this, then he'll do this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the way to get this victory. Walk in the light. He said, the Lord Jesus, I think it's John 8:12, he said, I am the light. All who follow after me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Yes, we keep sinning. Yes, sometimes the time comes when we don't obey the gospel, but we got to stay. If you've gotten out of the light, then I encourage you to get back. So all you got to do is get back in it. Get back in the light. This is why Jesus died for you and for I, you and me. There is forgiveness for these things. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses, not cleansed, and not will cleanse. Cleanses. That's right here and now, right here this morning on this 20th of January, whatever day it is. All I know is it's today. And today, there is cleansing from your sin. Pick a day on the calendar. And now, regarding everyone else who has refused love, remember, that's the charge over humanity, is God loves you. That's the charge. What do you do with that? That's your choice. We're going to have a chance here coming up in just a few minutes. If you have not yet do that, you can do that here this morning. Receive it. So, regarding everyone else who has refused love, it's time for judgment and the last trumpet. Now, back to this text here. If you're already moved on, I'll read it. 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 1. Notice how the day of grace has ended. The opportunity that you have today is no longer in operation in this day tomorrow that we're looking at. Now, you see, in this time, now is not the accepted time. Behold, it is no longer the day of salvation, because that is for today. It's never for tomorrow. Grace is for today. Not tomorrow. It's for today. You got to receive it today because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Because now it's the last trumpet and now it's time for judgment, not grace. Now is the time here is the time for judgment, not grace. No, today is the time for grace. That is why he seems so harsh here in this text. Maybe you say, oh, that's just not fair. That's just kind of harsh. That's because his grace has run out. The time is coming when the grace of God is not going to be extended anymore to this world. That's why the Bible says to receive it while it's today. While you can, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Receive. Today is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. I encourage you, receive the grace of God today. Amen. I'm going to keep saying that until I'm blue in the face. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Dynamite there, dunamis. When he comes in that day. So catch this. This is prophecy. He's not just talking to these groups. He's talking prophetically here to those that just happen to be alive on the earth when this happens. That's why he's not just talking to these guys 2,000 years ago. He's talking to all of us that are still alive on this earth whenever this happens. That's why you see those words, in that day. Whoever that is, that's who he's talking to. Those that are right here prior to the sounding of this last trumpet. So when he comes, it's verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he comes, comma, in that day, comma, to be glorified in his saints. And the saints are still here. And to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. All right, so now that day has finally arrived. So my question to you here today is your name in the book? Simple question, simple sermon. Is your name in the book? When the last trumpet sounds, what will be your destiny? Those that hear this on the radio, if you're watching this on YouTube, I ask you the question. Goes for you, not just for the church, my church family here. Is your name in the book? When the last trumpet sounds, will you be included in this? Or will you just as fast in the twinkling of an eye have this happen to you? So I see either one of two possibilities. Number one, he said, behold, I tell you a secret. We're not all going to die in this world, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, just that fast at the last trumpet. Or if you miss the twinkling of an eye, if you miss the twinkling of an eye, then you have option two. Instead of you being changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air, then you will meet the Lord on the ground instead of in the air. You don't want to meet the Lord on the ground. You want to meet him in the air because he's coming for his saints and he's going to catch them up. They're going to be caught up. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, we will meet the Lord in the air. You don't want to meet him on the ground. You want to meet him in the air. Where the Bible says when he returns, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I suggest option number one. And here's how you can guarantee that that's your destiny and your future. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Let me read it to you out of the NIV. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and, like I said earlier, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are, now when we see the word justify, the Greek word dikaios, it's a legal word just like double jeopardy is, or habeas corpus, or contempt of court. When you read justified, that means the God, that means whoever it is, the judges, in this case, it's Jehovah, and he's heard your case, and he's got a gavel, and when you read justified, God takes his gavel, slams down that gavel. He takes his gavel, you see, slams down that gavel, looks at you and says and declares to you, two words, not guilty. Then he'll probably say something like, enter into the joy of your Lord. So when you read justify, that's what that means. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified. And as with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, this is Romans 10:11. Anyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That is how you can be saved. That is how you can receive the promise of eternal life. Wrap your mind around that before you leave this morning. Eternal life. How cool is that? He's done all the work. All we have to do is exactly what he said. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Call on the name of the Lord and be a part of the upcoming mystery. We shall not all die, but we will all be changed. That is for all of you Christ followers. At the last trumpet.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent, and we go to Colossians for today's question, but let me ask you first, has anyone pressured you to fast or pushed you into some spiritual discipline or otherwise tried to regulate your worship? Well, Paul wrote Colossians 2 to help you deal with people like that. He said, "No one is to act as your judge in regard to festivals, new moons, foods, drinks, or Sabbath days." John, some of those people sound really spiritual and convincing. How do Paul's words help us have confidence to withstand that kind of spiritual intimidation?
Well, on the subject of fasting, Denny, it might be interesting for our listeners to know that there is only one prescribed fast in the entire Old Testament, and no fast is mandated on the church in the New Testament. With regard to the Jewish festivals and the new moons and the dietary laws and the Sabbaths, those were all a part of Judaism. They were all a part of the ceremonial law, which has been abrogated and set aside. We no longer need to keep Sabbaths. That's why the church meets on the first day of the week from the resurrection on. We are to eat whatever is available. We can eat anything. Rise, Peter, kill, and eat, we remember from the book of Acts. That was the word from heaven. So all those things that were externals that defined and characterized the Jews as a separated people have been set aside in the life of the church. We don't live by those regulations anymore. What the Lord wants out of us, I think, is contained in the passage of John 4:20-24, where our Lord says, "Worship in spirit and in truth." That's the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. It's from the heart, in spirit, according to truth.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from Colossians, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every